Sunlight flares over the blue haze of the Earth's atmosphere, and light bounces off the planet's surface as it rotates. A word wraps around it as fiery dots spread across the continents. Universal. Light slides along the letters as more words appear. A Comcast company.
A planet spins into view in a vast galaxy. Two rings encircle it as words appear. Universal, an MCA company. A cluster of giant glittering snowflakes frozen together drifts into view. Light shimmers off their surfaces. As the snowflakes float away, words appear in white. Steven Spielberg presents. A gust of wind blows a new, sparkling snowflake into view. It spins away to reveal more words. A Don Bluth film. The words turn into snowflakes and flutter away as another giant flake glides over. In all capital letters, the title fades into view. An American Tale. The word tale is spelled like the tail of a mouse. With a fresh gust of wind, the words dissolve into small snow flurries and more opening titles appear. With the voices of Kathy Ann Blore as Bridget, Dom DeLuise as Tiger, John Finnegan as Warren T. Rat, Philip Glasser as Fievel Mouskowitz, Amy Green as Tanya Mouskowitz, Madeline Kahn as Gussie Mousheimer, and Pat Music as Tony Taponi, Nehemiah Persoff as Papa Mouskowitz, Christopher Plummer as Henri, Neil Ross as Honest John. Will Ryan as Digit, Hal Smith as Mo, Erica Yone as Mama Mouskowitz. Music composed by James Horner. Original songs by Cynthia Weil, James Horner, Barry Mann. A view from above shows the rooftops of a Russian village covered in snow. Executive producers Steven Spielberg, David Kirshner. Kathleen Kennedy, Frank Marshall. Created by David Kirshner. Warm yellow light glows from the windows of the village's snow-blanketed homes. Story by David Kirshner and Judy Freudberg and Tony Geis. Screenplay by Judy Freudberg and Tony Geis. A closer view of one of the houses shows icicles hanging from the eaves and windows. Produced by Don Bluth, John Pomeroy, Gary Goldman. Directed by Don Bluth. Above the front door of the cozy house, the name Mouskowitz is displayed in large letters. The view dips down along the side of the house to reveal a tiny mouse hole in the corner. The mouse hole also bears a nameplate above its miniature door. The sign reads, Mouskowitz. Text appears, Shostaka, Russia, 1885.
Tanya, Ivo, will you stop that twirling, twirling? No, no more. That's it.
But Mama, it's Hanukkah.
For you every night is one.
Inside.
Papa, enough already. They'll never get to sleep.
All right, all right.
Papa Mouskowitz holds a violin.
Presents. What about presents?
Presents. What presents?
Upset, his son and daughter look at him.
Oh, Papa.
He pulls out a headscarf.
Just a joke. For Tanya, new babushka, happy Hanukkah.
Oh, Papa, thank you.
You have only one parent?
Thank you, Mama.
And for you, Fievel, a new hat. And not just any hat, a new hat that has been in the family for three generations. It belonged to me, my father, and my father's father. And now it belongs to you. Happy Hanukkah.
The blue cap falls down over Fievel's eyes.
It's too big.
You'll grow.
Mama puts a baby mouse to bed.
Did I ever tell you about the giant mouse of Minsk?
No.
No.
Was it anything like the mouse with the long hair that the prince climbed up?
No. This mouse, the mouse of Minsk, was tall as a tree. His tail was a mile long.
Really?
Really. He was so big, he frightened all the cats.
Don't say that word. Talk about something else.
America.
Another fairy tale.
America. What a place.
What a place.
What a place.
In America, there are mouse holes in every wall.
Who says?
Everyone. In America, there are breadcrumbs on every floor.
You're talking nonsense.
In America, you can say anything you want. But most important, and this I know for a fact, in America, there are no cats.
Shh, they'll hear you.
How could they hear us?
The whole room shakes.
You see?
Outside. As several men ride horses into the village, townspeople flee. One of the men throws a torch on a nearby house, causing both the humans and mice who live in it to scurry away. As the men ride off, more mice dash from burning homes. A group of cats with black mustaches and Cossack hats runs into the streets. They bare their sharp teeth. Three mice jump out of their path just in time. The cats then salivate and begin to stalk their prey. Wide-eyed, the mice quickly take off. In the Mouskowitz house, Mama comforts the baby.
Don't cry, Yasha. I'll scare him away.
Fievel's gonna get hurt!
Fievel darts outside, banging a pan with a spoon. He races up a steep hill. He runs back down with a large cat close behind. Burrowing through the snow, he escapes through a mouse hole in a freestanding door. The cat's head gets stuck in it. Fievel collides with a boot. Up ahead, another cat charges toward him. He retreats again into the snow, just barely missing the cat's grasp. The other cat frees itself. As the two cats race toward each other, snow billows around them. Fievel gets swept up in one cat's billow, riding on the front. The cats collide and the snow falls off their heads to reveal Fievel resting on their noses. He scurries up a rope into a teapot. Clawing at the teapot, the cats reach inside. Fievel hides in the lid. As one cat checks inside the lid, Fievel hides against the outside. The cat tosses the lid aside and the gang of felines bounds away from the burning Russian village. Fievel dizzily emerges from beneath the lid.
Angel, are you all right?
Yes, Mama.
Then never do that again.
He smiles and shakes his head.
Mama, look!
Tanya and Fievel gaze back at their home to see it covered in flames. The whole family stands together, jaws hanging.
In America, there are no cats.
They watch as the sky above them glows vibrant yellow and orange. Now text appears. Hamburg, Germany. A seagull flies over to a dock beside a large steamship. The bird lands near a mooring post where a band of mice happily plays. Below the band, immigrant mice walk in single file up a rope and onto the ship. Following Papa Mouskowitz, Fievel suddenly stops. The mice behind him bump into each other.
Look, Papa, water! Is it the ocean?
Yes, keep walking.
The mouse behind Fievel pokes down his walking stick, making Fievel hurry up. Holding Papa's tail, Fievel stops again.
Look, Papa, smoke! Is the boat on fire?
No, keep walking!
Once more, Fievel is pushed forward, but he causes another pileup behind him.
Look, Papa! Birds! Are they seagulls?
Keep walking!
Keep walking!
At last, the Mouskowitzes board the ship.
I just want to see.
Fievel, this is the last time I take you to America.
Bye-bye!
He waves. As the boat pulls away, two seagulls watch from a pier.
Oh, auf Wiedersehen!
You know, I've got a cousin in America.
Ah, you and everybody else.
Later, the ship glides on the open sea as its passengers rest for the night. Behind a man on board, a view moves toward a mouse hole in a beam. On the other side of the hole, several mice sleep as Papa plays his violin and Mama hums to the baby.
Are we there yet?
Not yet. Soon.
How soon?
Soon.
Maybe we should have stayed in Russia.
We'll be all right. As long as we're together, we'll be all right.
Outside, the sky brightens and turns a pale gray-blue. Inside the boat, at the bottom of a staircase, stand three wooden barrels. The barrels read, herring breakfast, herring lunch, herring dinner. A man takes a fish from the breakfast barrel and walks away. Fievel crawls up to the barrel's edge. As he peers inside, Papa arrives.
Ah, so, Mr. Curious, you've discovered the herring.
Herring? I thought they were fish.
But Fievel, herring are fish.
Really?
Certainly. In the ocean, there are all kinds of fish, and herring is one of them.
All kinds?
Yes, tiny fishes, not so tiny fishes, fishes as big as this boat.
Fievel gapes.
Wow! Let's go up and see the fish.
Not now, your mama is worried.
Fievel runs off anyway.
Come back, Fievel.
Papa hurries after him.
Wait!
Back in the mouse hole.
What am I gonna do with you? You stay closer to home. Don't you go running off.
Mama!
Ah, so we returned.
We saw some fish.
Fish? Lucky you didn't see some cats.
Cats!
Gato! Cats!
Several mice jump.
I didn't see any cats.
Won't it be nice to get to America where we don't have to worry about cats anymore? There are no cats in America. But back home in Mother Russia, our family was traveling through the snow to Minsk. Suddenly, Papa saw those huge paw prints. When I heard him screaming, I fainted dead away. And I woke up an orphan.
He turns to an old mouse as she knits. The mouse faints.
But? But there are no cats in America, and the streets are paved with cheese. Oh, there are no cats in America, so set your mind at ease.
An Italian mouse leaps into view.
La cosa terribile che esiste nella patria mia. Do you think things were bad in Russia? You should see things in my country. Times were hard in Sicily. We had no provolone. The Don, he was a tabby with a taste for my brother Tony. When Mama went to plead for him, the Don said he would see her. We found her rosary on the ground. Poor Mamma Mia.
The old knitting mouse faints again.
But
there are no cats in America, and the streets are paved with cheese. Oh, there are no cats in America, so set your mind at ease.
An Irish mouse.
I'm not sad, but sadder still. When I was but a lad, I lost my true love fair. A calico, he caught us by surprise. In a flash of teeth and fur, her tail was all he left of her. Neath a heather is wedded to Ralura lies. But
the mice dance.
But there are no cats in America.
The male mice form a tunnel with their arms and the female mice dance through. Male mice stack their trunks. The trunks become the base of a mouse pyramid as several dancers climb on top of each other with the old knitting mouse at the very top.
Thank you.
Lightning flashes as a great rain cloud heavily pours on the boat. In the mouse hole, a checkerboard floats on the thin layer of water now swishing over the ship's floor. The ship rocks to and fro, sending the floating checkerboard back and forth between two older mice as they play the game. Nearby, three seasick mice float in a teacup.
Hey, fella. Want a bite?
A chubby mouse offers a pickle, and the seasick mice cover their mouths, their eyes bulging. Elsewhere on the boat, a piece of hot coal rolls over to Papa.
Oh, it's the end of the world.
No, it's worse.
Using a screw, two mice push the coal away. A barefoot man steps on it. Under the stove, Fivel warms his bottom at a coal. It rolls into him as the ship tilts. He gets caught in a surge of water, which washes him out of sight. He returns on a bar of soap, stuck in a soap bubble. The bar glides him up to his family.
Fivel. Fivel, come, sit here.
Yes, Papa.
But the rocking of the ship propels him away.
Fivel.
He spies something ahead. The water carries an open razor away from a shaving mug and towards him. As Fivel pivots to avoid the blade, it slices off an edge of the soap bar. The force of the water current smashes Fivel into a herring barrel and catapults him onto it. At the top of the stairs nearby, a door to the deck bangs back and forth. Fivel jumps onto the stairs. Water washes through the door and Fivel ducks. Fish flop inside. The young mouse eyes the fish, then turns to the door.
Fish!
Fivel! Fivel!
With a mischievous grin, he takes off his cap.
Fivel!
I'm getting my hat, Papa!
He throws his cap up the stairs, then the wind carries it outside.
Fivel!
He climbs.
Fivel, come back!
My hat!
Wait!
Papa hastens up the stairs after him while Fivel stands wide-eyed in the threshold. Before him, dozens of fish flop along the flooded deck.
Fivel, stop! Stop!
As Fivel reaches for his hat, he tumbles outside.
Papa!
Papa grips the rope by the door.
Don't move!
Grabs his sleeve, but it rips.
Fivel!
Fivel clings to a herring, but the current proves too strong for the fish, and he lets go of it just before it slips off the boat. He then grabs a rope, which sweeps him high up into the ship's rigging. Out on the ocean's rough waves, he sees the water morph into the giant shape of the sea god Neptune. Neptune strikes the ship with his watery claw. Another wave swells up into the shape of Neptune and crashes down on the seemingly tiny ship.
Papa, help!
Fivel clutches the ship's rope desperately, his whole body shaking as another enormous wave speeds towards him and covers the ship. He falls overboard.
Fivel!
Papa dangles from a rope as the ship drifts off in the night. While Fivel flails about in the stormy waters, the ocean current pulls him further from view.
Papa!
Everything fades to black. Now, a ferry sits docked before a building that bears the sign Castle Garden. Men and women walk over a gangplank to exit the barge, and the mice also exit below them.
America.
No. New York.
In an immigration office.
Name?
Smovolodny Dromovichki.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
A mouse clerk writes.
Family Mouskowitz. How many?
Five. Oh, I mean four.
Okay, next.
Tears fill Papa's eyes.
Papa, why did they change my name to Tilly?
His face sad, Papa continues on. Now, a bottle gently floats on the surface of the ocean, gliding past clouds of fog. As water sloshes around inside the tilted bottle, a hand pops up. Fievel breaks the surface. With bags under his eyes, he presses his hands to the glass. A hazy view through it shows the outline of the Statue of Liberty. Sunlight glitters on the water. Fievel stares out wide-eyed. A wave washes the bottle onto a metal object, and a pigeon in a bow tie and top hat lands on it.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Ah, a little immigrant.
Now they are coming by bottle.
Fievel climbs out of the bottle.
Where is your papa? Your mama?
I don't know. They were on the boat to America.
Ah, then you are in luck, my little immigrant. This is America.
America? I thought it was bigger.
Oh, it is bigger. All of that is also America.
Wow.
This is just an island at the doorway where I, Henri Le Pigeon, am putting up my statue. Liberté!
At Henri's home, Fievel disappears beneath a billow of soap suds. The pigeon pulls him out and sets him on a hot water bottle.
I know, my little immigrant. You want to find your family. And you will.
But how? It's so far away and it's so big. I'll never find them anyway.
Je m'excuse, pardon. But did you say never? So young and you have lost hope. Ah, this is America, the place to find hope. If you give up, you will never find your family. So, never say never. Say never, say never, whatever you do. Never say never, my friend.
Oh, tais-toi!
If you believe that your dreams will come true, they'll come true in the end. Keep up your courage. Don't ever despair. Take heart and then count to ten. Hope for the best. Work for the rest. And never say never again.
Oh, but it's impossible. Never find my family.
Never say never. Now say that, go on.
Never say never.
Whatever you do again.
Never say never.
To me, see how easy. If you believe you can come shining through.
That's how it's gonna be.
Lady pigeons fly in.
Now don't you fall and give up, give out or give in. When the going's tough, just get tough and just tell yourself you're gonna win.
Remember to look on the bright side till then. And never say never again.
Henri and Fievel trade hats.
Now, are you ready to go and find your family?
Yes!
Chantal! Take my little friend to immigration. You will find your family there.
Everyone goes through immigration.
I would take you there myself, but then I would never finish my statue.
Henri, you said never.
Oh, so I did. Never say never.
Fievel climbs onto a purple lady pigeon's back, then twirls Henry's top hat. They switch hats.
Au revoir. Bonne chance. Good luck.
The purple pigeon flies off.
Goodbye.
Henri stays with the statue, whose head and torch are under construction. A view of New York's shore shows the red, round roof of Castle Garden with an American flag waving atop it. Men and women line up to enter.
Come on, keep it moving. Keep it moving. All right.
Hurry, hurry.
Nearby, mice gather at a tiny structure labeled Mouse Garden.
Welcome, greenhorns! This is America!
Today's special, the Brooklyn Bridge, just a dollar.
Golly, the Brooklyn Bridge.
Ticket to Chicago. Used only once.
Gee whiz, only once, Ma.
Apple, apple, get my apple while it lasts. Hurry, it's going fast.
I'll take one.
Me too.
Give me.
Smoke wafts from inside an old suitcase.
18, 19, 20.
A rat counts coins as he puffs a cigar. A cockroach emerges from his pocket.
Would you please put out that filthy thing? I'm suffocating down here.
You don't like it? Hey, you know you're not the only cockroach in New York City. There are millions of roaches who'd give their left feet to work for Warranty Rat.
Oh, good. Fire me. I'm fed up with that filthy smoke.
Hey.
And this pocket... I've seen kitchen stoves cleaner than this place.
Hey, come on.
Look at my suit.
All right, Digit, all right. Hey, how much money did we make today?
Well, let's see.
As Digit counts the coins, electricity crackles between his antenna.
Yeah, and two plus two is 22. But what did we make? What's the total?
So far, we have collected $89 and 13 cents. And we'll get another 17 from Mo. That's 50 cents less than yesterday.
What?
Digit flies off.
50 cents? I hate to lose money. Where can I pick up an extra 50 cents?
Outside, Chantal drops off Fievel on the suitcase. Fievel falls through a hole into the suitcase.
Hey, boss, a kid. You know, Mo can always use an extra kid at 50 cents a day.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
To Fievel.
Well, Rat's the name. Warranty Rat.
He bows.
What can I do you for, kid?
I'm looking for my family.
Hey, you come to the right fella, kid. I know exactly where they are. Come with me.
But Ami said I'd find them here.
Have it your way, kid. But remember what Shakespeare said, and I quote.
They step outside.
Opportunity knocks, but once. If taken at the tide, 'twill lead to fortune. If denied, 'twill never return.
Do you really know where my family is?
Warren puffs out smoke shaped like a dollar sign.
Trust me, hey, trust me.
As they stroll downhill together, Fievel copies Warren's strut to step in sync with him. Elsewhere, a tintype of Fievel hangs on the wall between two lines of Hebrew.
Mama, I keep having this feeling. The Fievel's alive.
Tanya.
In a tower.
It will go away. After a while, it will go away.
Tanya peeks out from a doctor's bag on a windowsill. She regards the cityscape far below her while ropes dangle behind her down to a basket on the tower floor.
Come with me.
Warren leads Fievel into the tower.
Hey, don't break a gut there.
They ride in the basket.
Oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of wood.
On an upper floor.
That I am meek and gentle with these butchers. This is where they are.
Papa!
A beefy, drooling rat yanks Fievel through a doorway.
A bed, Ebo. A new worker.
What about my family?
You don't need a family, kid. You got a job here. Just send me a salary, will you?
Warren leaves, and Fievel tries to follow.
And where do you think you're going? You're mine. Now get to work. You, what are you looking at? Back to work.
Fievel and a horde of other wide-eyed mice scurry away from Mo. They dart past the feet of laboring women who sew clothes. At night, Fievel ties bed sheets together as the other worker mice rest by a small window.
I want to get out of here.
You and me both.
I have to find my family.
Ah, shut up. Go to sleep.
Right down.
Keep quiet.
I wish we had that mouse with the long hair. She could drop her hair out the window and we can all climb down.
Sure. Out the window.
Ah, fairy tale. Wait a minute. This kid may have something. Tony Toponi's the name. Put it there,
Fievel. Fievel Mouse Quartz.
Fievel? Ooh, that name's gotta go. Hey, I'll tell you what. Philly!
Philly?
Yeah, fits you perfect.
Using the sheet rope, Fievel climbs out the window right past the doctor's bag.
Hey, Philly, you got any idea where your family is? Philly!
Fievel runs off.
Philly Mouse Quartz!
Over the roofs of the surrounding buildings, a full moon shines bright. Later, Fievel sits near a torn piece of sheet music from the Pirates of Penzance. Later still, he wanders the streets. He pauses at a glass window to see a schoolroom full of mice his age. His ears droop, and he trudges down an alley. He looks up and spies an unfamiliar mother mouse.
Fievel!
A mouse runs up to her.
What am I going to do with you? Come on.
The mother exits with her own son, leaving cheese behind. Fievel reaches for the food, but a rat intercepts him. Later in the day, Fievel walks on an elevated railway. A train soon appears, speeding his way. He ducks just before it reaches him, then clings to a cross tie as it passes overhead, sending sparks everywhere. While the train continues on, it leaves a thick cloud of smoke behind. Fievel loses his grip and falls between the cross ties, landing on a large pile of coal dust on the pavement below. He coughs out rings of dust. Pushing his cap off his face, he glances up at the railway somberly. Rising to his feet, he continues to wander the city with his head bowed. His ears perk up.
Papa.
He lifts his head.
Papa.
He beams.
Papa!
Across the street stands a yellow tenement building with its windows open. Fievel dashes toward it, but a giant horse hoof crashes down in front of him, just barely missing him. Trolleys pass. He sprints between them, climbs up a rope, crosses over a clothesline, and reaches an open window.
Here, Papa, here I am.
Fievel bounds indoors onto an Edison cylinder phonograph. His hat falls inside the speaker horn, and he stands at the rim, peering in.
Papa?
He gapes.
There.
His ears curl inward, straining to hear. His shoulders droop. Wiping his cheek, he huddles into a little ball in the speaker. Now a woman changes the cylinder on the phonograph. The sound makes the speaker horn shake, causing Fievel and his hat to slide out of the horn and onto the cylinder. As he tumbles on the rotating cylinder, he becomes the target of a barrage of objects thrown his direction. A ball of yarn, a brown shoe, a corset, and a potted plant. He falls off the windowsill and into an old sock on a clothesline.
Shut up out there!
What's going on up there?
Dropping from a hole in the sock, he uses fabric like a parachute and lands in a bucket. A woman cleaning dumps the bucket, washing Fievel away in soapy water. Tony sits on a sign for Hester Street.
Hey, Philly! I've been looking all over for you.
Tony climbs down to him.
Pardon the expression, but you look like something the cat dragged in, you know?
Tony snags a piece of cheese from a mousetrap.
Hey, you all right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Listen, you go running off like that and you're gonna get yourself seriously lost. Stick with me, okay?
Fievel hugs Tony's arm.
What, are we engaged or something?
Tony shakes him off and they leave. Meanwhile...
Why can't we try to find Fievel, Papa? Just try. I know, Papa. Play your violin. Play Fievel's song. Maybe you hear it.
You can't find what's not there.
Above them, Tony and Fievel cross a ramp.
Okay. I got it all figured out. We'll start looking for your family over at...
Tony suddenly ogles a red-haired mouse.
This is America. Don't be afraid. Are you going to let those cats push you around?
Tony? Hey, Tony, where are you going?
I ask you this. Are we gonna stand by and let cats wreck our homes, our businesses, and our lives? If we all got together, we could do something about the cats.
Yeah, we should all get together.
He goes to her.
This is America. We have free speech. You can say cat here. Cat, 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 and double cat.
Not so loud.
Shh, please. Not that word.
Wait a minute. Come back. Where are you going?
Tony offers her a wilted flower. She bats her eyelashes. He stares at her with lovesick eyes.
So, if we all got together, we could do something about the cats.
Yeah. Cat. Cat.
Cat.
Fivel yanks on Tony's scarf, but loses his grip, causing Tony to fall forward and kiss the red-headed mouse.
Tony? Tony, what's wrong with you?
Ignoring Fivel, Tony and the redhead sit down, holding each other's hands. As they gaze at each other, mice around them scurry off.
But there are no cats in America.
That doesn't. I'd get out of here.
Mm-hmm, me too.
What are you all afraid of? Cats, cats.
A shadow
cats,
looms
cats.
Behind him.
Papa told me. Everyone knows it. There are no cats.
A black cat appears right behind him. It opens its enormous jaws and consumes Fivel whole, along with a box of apple slices. Fivel grabs hold of the fleshy uvula hanging from the cat's throat. Opening its jaws, the feline sneezes. Fivel flies out. Fivel and several other mice run away past a popcorn stand, but the cat lunges and catches two mice in its paws. More cats charge down the alley, leaving behind a mess of overturned food carts and battered junk in their wake. Tony dashes over to the redhead.
Hey, you all right? I mean, you ain't hurt or nothing, are you?
No, I'm okay.
He helps her stand.
Thank you. No, really, I'm all right. Really, I am.
They fall into a straw hat.
How about you?
Nah, who do those cats think they are? I'll show them a thing or two next time. Hey, where's Philly?
Philly? Who's Philly?
Oh, I gotta find him. He's just a kid. Philly!
Tony climbs out from the hat while Fivel crawls out from a small crate close by.
Tony!
Whoa!
Tony jumps and spins around.
Some scrap, huh?
There are cats here. What'll I tell Papa if I find him?
You see, he's looking for his family.
Aw, the poor darling. Wait a minute. Honest John at Tammany Hall. He'll know where your family is.
He will.
Tony, he knows every mouse in the city.
Huh. Told you to stick with me, yeah.
Come on.
As the mice leave, Fivel's family emerges from hiding nearby.
Oh. Well, mister, there are no whats in America.
Cats.
Papa gives an awkward smile. In an area below street level, a sign reads, "A grand wake for Mickey O'Hare," inside a mouse hole.
It's my third wake today, and I'm not finished.
We got to do something about them cats.
Besides paying warranty rat for no protection.
A mouse lies dead with a rosary.
Oh, poor lad. So young. Never had a chance to vote. Well, he'll vote from now on. I'll see to that.
The red-nosed mouse writes Mickey's name on a list titled Ghost Votes. A well-dressed mouse enters.
Honest John.
It's Gussie Mouseheimer.
Oh.
Wait, the richest and most powerful mouse in New York. What's she doing slumming in this part of town?
Gussie spots Mickey.
There's a dead mouse on that table.
It's an Irish custom, Gussie. The cats got him today.
Precisely why I am here to see you.
Would you care for a wee drop of the creature?
She refuses.
Today was the worst ever. Those cats are killing everyone. They don't even know the difference between rich and poor. The wretches.
Oh, shameful.
As you know, I have dedicated my wife to helping those less fortunate than myself.
She sees Fivel.
That's everyone. And now I want you to help me. We must have a wowie.
A wowie?
What's a Huawei?
You know, a Huawei. A large gathering of mice for a reason.
Oh, a rally.
That's what I said. A Huawei.
John reaches for a feather on her bosom as she smacks his hand with a fan.
Tomorrow, at Mausheimer Park, we will all decide what to do. I will bring the uptown mice, and you bring the mice from downtown.
Madam, you can count on honest John.
She slams the door on her way out.
At last, we're all getting together about the cats.
Bridget.
Oh, Philly. Honest John, he's lost his family. By any chance, do you know the Mauskowitzes? Oh.
John studies Fievel.
Are they registered to vote?
They just got off the boat.
Oh. Sorry, don't know them yet.
John downs another drink. At night, a full moon shines above a water tower and several rooftops.
That's me mother and father. The cats got them 2 years ago in November. Now don't you worry. Yours are all right. And they're out there somewhere.
In the water tower.
Now, get some sleep.
Bridget blows Fievel a kiss before leaving him in a wicker cradle. Now alone, he shuffles over to a small window and climbs onto the sill. Several potted flowers sit on the ledge and stars fill the sky above. Outside the doctor's bag.
Somewhere out there, someone saying a prayer.
Tanya eyes the full moon.
That will find one another in that big somewhere out there. And even though I know how very far apart we are, it helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star.
And when the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
Back in the water tower, Fievel lies down in the cradle with a small brown blanket. Daytime. A man and woman stroll past a gazebo in a park. Mice assemble on the gazebo's roof.
Attention, please! Attention,
please! You all know why we are here. We have got to do something about these cats. Yes.
Not so loud, they'll hear you.
So? Let them hear me.
You can talk, you're rich.
Yeah. Money is not everything. I know because I have money and I have everything. But what are they worth without freedom?
Here, here.
Why did we come to America?
For freedom. Why are they building that statue? What does it stand for? Freedom! So what do we want?
Freedom!
The Statue of Liberty stands in the distance.
Right. Freedom from cats. And because this is America, we can do something about that.
Well, what can we do?
In the crowd.
Papa, I can't see.
They're bigger than we are.
Not if we all work together. What are you afraid of? Are we men or are we mice?
Mice! Mice, indeed! And proud of it!
Bridget and Fievel sit behind Gussie.
So what are we going to do about those cats? Well, any ideas?
Fievel sneaks over to Gussie.
I have an idea.
Yes?
While he whispers into her megaphone, she listens at the other end.
What did he say?
She whispers the idea to John with a smile.
Oh. Yes, cute little fellow.
Wait a minute. I think this little fellow has got something here. We have a plan!
Oh, Papa, she's in the way again.
The feathers of a lady mouse's fancy hat block Tanya's view of Fievel and Gussie. At night, a ship named Star of Hong Kong floats in a harbor. Nearby, John hands out birthday candles to a line of mice as they make their way down a dock. Holding the candles like torches, they approach a towering museum, its door locked by a thick chain. Around the door, signs read, Professor Digitalis, Museum of the Weird and Bizarre, closed, keep out. The mice creep inside through a hole in the door. As they tread past jars that contain pieces of different creatures, the glass makes their heads look large and deformed. A human skull falls and shatters on the floor. Moments later, mice huddle in the dark.
We have a plan. E pluribus unum.
The mice light a kerosene lamp, drop their candles, and set to work. Wielding scissors, saws, and cutlery, they sever the skull of a dinosaur from the rest of its bones. The dinosaur skull lands on the ground while other mice sew many pieces of cloth together in one long strip. Meanwhile, Fievel's family and two other mice carry a gold key and pocket watch over to a basket. They toss the items inside and the basket is dropped into a bubbling vat. Below the vat, liquid flows through a tube and into a beaker. The gas from the beaker then inflates the long strip of cloth.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for your participation. And I want to close by saying that a vote for Honest John is a vote for freedom. Freedom is what it is. And thank you again, one and all.
At the water tower, Tony jolts awake as a pocket watch vibrates.
Holy spumoni! We should have been at the pier an hour ago!
The pier?
He runs.
That's a scary place.
I promised Bridget we'd be on time.
Wait for me! Wait!
Jeez Louise, am I in the doghouse? Pick him up!
Fievel follows.
Tell me what time it was, huh?
But Tony, I can't tell time!
In the street.
Tony, slow down! Wait!
Fievel scampers over a sewer grate and trips just as Tony hurries out of sight. Fievel glances down through the grate.
Tony! Papa!
I'm coming, Papa!
Beaming, he climbs down into the sewer. A pillar of stones breaks under his weight, and he leaps onto a ledge close by. He enters a rocky and dark tunnel, while large insects with pincers follow at his heels. He stops and finally sees them. Darting out of the tunnel, he leaps onto another ledge, narrowly avoiding the insects as they reach the end of the tunnel and fall into a waterway below. Fievel peers down to see a fanged creature eat the falling bugs, and his jaw drops. He moves away. Now he treks past a waterfall and into a wide sewer pipe. Up ahead, a stone wall bears several bits of graffiti. No dogs allowed, Mott Street Maulers. Through a break in the wall, several cats can be seen playing cards. Two other cats each make a pedal move on a player piano.
All right, ante up, boys.
At the card table.
Hey, no cheating.
As Fievel scurries into the chamber, an orange tomcat studies his cards. He holds several cards backwards.
Ooh, I got it.
Rummy!
Tiger, for the 100th time, we're playing poker.
I knew that. I knew that. But who can concentrate with all that, you know, noise?
He rearranges his cards.
Hey, Tiger.
A cat blows cigar smoke.
When the boss plays, it's culture.
Sure, culture.
I think it sounds melodious.
If music be the food of love, play on, Macduff, play on.
Warren plays the violin.
I don't know which is worse, the music or the Shakespeare.
Rats! This noise here, it keeps getting in the way.
You could stop playing.
That's funny. I've never known a cockroach with good taste. But I've known plenty that taste.
He bares his teeth at Digit.
Good.
play.
He rips off a fake nose and fake ears, and his real cat ears unfurl to full size.
Warren Teep.
Fievel watches from the other side of Warren's translucent mirror.
Yo.
You're not a rat. You're a cat.
How'd you get in here?
Come here, you little...
Warren grabs him. Fievel bites the imposter.
Gentlemen, cat's out of the bag.
Fievel runs off.
Get me that mouse!
Let me at him. I'll kill him. Get out of my way.
Tiger upturns the card table.
You just stepped on my tail.
The tomcat drops the card table on his own fluffy tail. Fievel bolts across the piano. As cats attack from either side, the mouse runs back and forth across the keys to avoid them.
Come here, you little runt.
Fievel ducks briefly behind the player roll, then dashes off. The cats race after him in the sewer, but slip on loose beads and slam into a wall.
I got that little...
Riding a roller skate, Fievel speeds off. He sticks his tongue out at the cats. Up ahead, three cats lunge for him as he careens downhill and lands underwater. He swims through a bear trap and hurries up a chain link. As the cats pull on the chain, he bounds away. Fievel scrambles up a loose pile of gravel, then out an open manhole. Above ground, he pauses to peer into the sewer with a grin. He puts on his cap, turns on his heel, and starts to leave. A paw snags him by the tail and pulls him into the sewer. In the museum on the pier, a map of the Hudson River has been laid out with a model of the dock and several toy cats on top of it.
Once more, there is the boat. The boat whistle blows at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that is when we must release the sacred ribbon!
A large wooden mouse rolls towards the model cats, forcing them down the dock and onto the nearby ship, which sails to Hong Kong.
So, the cats must be here at 6 on the dot, not a moment before or after. Now, when you go to get the cats, what do you do to make them come here? Right! Now get some sleep. We have a long day ahead.
Back in Warren's lair.
No. Boss, it was not me. I promise. It wasn't me.
Hey, wake up. Wake up. Jake! Wake up! Ooh! You're up. Go get some sleep, Jake.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Right.
As Fievel sits alone in a birdcage surrounded by empty cages, Tiger approaches.
I'm your god, Tiger.
He punches the air.
Don't make any funny moves, because I'm crafty and I'm quick. I have the instinct of a cat. What am I saying? I am a cat. Oh, hey, don't start that. I didn't mean to scare you that much, really. It's okay, little buddy. Hey, I'm your friend. Oh, come on. Be happy.
He lies down and sets the cage on his belly.
Oh, come on. What are you crying for?
I can't get out of here, and I have to, so I can find my family.
You lost your family? Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
He sits up.
That's terrible. You know, I lost my family, too. Years ago, I mean. 8 brothers. 10 sisters. 3 fathers.
Don't cry. You'll find them.
Oh, do you really think so?
He bites his nails.
Gee, you're nice. My name's Tiger. What's yours?
Fievel. Fievel Mousewitz.
Oh, dear. Listen, I like mice. Oh, no, not like that. I mean, I don't eat red meat at all. I'm a vegetarian. That's right. Oh, a little fish now and then. But what I really like is some nice, broccoli.
You know, I thought all cats were supposed to be mean.
Mean? I am mean.
Fievel ducks as Tiger's antics knock the cage over.
What's the use?
As Fievel watches from the cage, Tiger sits somberly on a dresser with his arms crossed and his tail tapping. After a moment, he stands on his head to look at Fievel.
I like butterflies with big golden wings and blue and green tips.
Me too! Yeah.
Tiger lies down.
I like Swiss cheese ice cream.
Me too, me too!
You too, too? Wait a minute. What's your favorite book?
The Brothers Karamazov.
The Brothers... I can't.
He lets Fievel out of the cage.
I can tell we got an awful lot in common. Even though we look as different as can be, we don't even have to try to see things eye to eye. It just comes to us naturally. Come to think of it, I think we fit together. Playing cat and mouse won't get us very far. There's no need to feud and fuss when it isn't really us. Let's you and me be who we are.
They dance.
We're a duo, a duo. A pair of lonely ones who were meant to be a two. Oh, a duo, it's true. Oh, wherever we go, we're going, me and you. Oh, no matter what, now we've got one another. We'll be there to pick each other off the floor. Anytime you're feeling glum, count on me to be a chum.
If you get an itch attack, I'll be there to scratch your back.
Now, who could ever ask for more?
Fievel scratches Tiger's back.
No, don't stop. More. We're friends, and that's what friends are for.
We're a duo.
In the mirror, their equal-sized reflections dance and skate together, then float on chunks of ice as it breaks apart and slowly melts back into the floor.
It's true, if we're ever in a stew, we know we can make it through, 'cause you got me and I got you.
Yes, sir!
Digit suddenly pops out of an old stove nearby and sparks with electricity.
Where'd that come from? Oh, don't.
Digit tries to catch Fievel, but loses him.
Quick, Tiger, how did he get away?
He overpowered me.
You're fired.
Good. I'm glad. I never liked you. And besides, your music stinks.
Fievel escapes to the street and sprints away. In the museum, several mice sleep beside a clock that reads almost 6:10. Fievel runs to the harbor. Cats chase him.
Help! Cats!
In the museum, Gussie wakes up.
Tony! Reggie! Help! Cats!
It's the cats.
Help! Oh, they're early. Wake up! Everybody, wake up!
She watches from above as Fievel squeezes through the hole in door, narrowly missing the clutches of a cat.
Wake up! The cats are here!
Mice on a makeshift cart jolt awake.
What? We wished it. Oh, no!
A mouse strikes a pin attached to the cart, releasing it from its anchor. Honest John tries to stop the cart from moving.
No. Wait for the boat whistle!
Mice above the front door throw dishes on the cats outside.
Hold your fire. It's that rat, Warren T.
He's not a rat. He's a cat. He's their boss.
Pay no attention to that little mouse. Just throw down all your money and that kid, and I will personally convince these cats to leave you alone.
You're wrecking the plan! It's not supposed to happen this way!
Mice try to stop the cart.
Just throw down that kid!
Oh, yeah?
Tony fires a slingshot at him.
Bullseye!
It knocks off his nose.
Disregard the nose. What's in a nose? A nose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Tony's slingshot hits off Warren's ears.
Hey, wait a minute. Who are you going to believe? Me or your own eyes?
Inside, the cart continues to roll.
The secret. No.
The clock strikes 5 before 6. Outside.
Easy. Then I take it we can't do business.
When you're through. Washed up. Ruined. You will never get another cent from any mouse anywhere.
Eh, we'll see about that. Just wait, you little rat.
Warren strolls to the door and pulls out a match. Grinning wickedly, he strikes the match on his teeth.
Adios!
He then sets a box of fabric stuffing on fire and the flames spread.
Tie it off! Hurry!
John stops the cart mere inches from the door.
Oh, saints be praised. It stopped.
On the water, smoke puffs from the Star of Hong Kong.
Wei Wei, the secret weapon!
The clock strikes 6.
We wish. Oh no! Release the secret weapon!
Wake up, you guys!
Oh, my goodness!
Inside, hordes of mice push the cart's wheels. Two others try to cut ropes holding the cart back.
Release the blasted weapon!
Papa and some other mice pump a lever inside the cart.
We can't do business here, huh?
While Warren stands outside, shaking with laughter and pointing at the flaming building, Fievel grabs a burning stick. On the water, the ship begins to move. Gussie gives an alarmed look. Fievel races to the rope with his small flame and burns it. The cart rolls free, but Fievel falls, hits his head on the metal holding pin, and loses consciousness. A giant head attached to the cart strikes against the front door, which begins to crack. Outside, Warren and the other cats gawk. Glowing light in green and red shines forth, and Warren covers his mouth. At last, the doors break open, revealing the shape of a gigantic mouse.
Get a load of that.
Its midsection bears the text, Giant Mouse of Minsk.
It's the Giant Mouse of Minsk!
Oh, you're right!
As it swings its head and opens its huge jaws, the mice inside shoot fireworks at the cats. The mice high five. The cats sprint up a pile of crates while three other mice light more fireworks. The cats immediately retreat. Warren bolts with Digit and Tony lights more rockets from the cart. Now, mice begin to abandon the cart using mini parachutes. The mouse of Minsk speeds after the cats, chasing them down the pier. Warren trips. The cart gains on him, flattening him against the front as it keeps rolling. Warren's teeth chatter as he charges towards the rest of the cats at the edge of the dock. The cats leap off the pier and into the water, followed by the giant fake mouse.
The kids
ladies and gentlemen, credit where it's due. We owe it all to Philly and his mouse of Minsk.
Papa and Tanya watch as the other mice dance.
Now there are no cats in America. We can do just
who's Philly?
Papa shakes his head. In the harbor, Digit and Warren rest on a rising anchor.
Someday, Gussie Meisheimer, someday! And you too, Moskowitz, all of you! I hate mice!
I'm having a heart attack here.
More cats cling to the anchor and spy the name of the ship.
Oh, don't worry, gentlemen, don't worry.
There are plenty of mice in Hong Kong.
Oh, my. I'll have to learn to calculate in Chinese. Let me see.
The ship pulls away.
Hey, I wonder how you say trust me in Chinese.
Back in the museum, Fievel lies still in the smoking building. By the door, an open kerosene can leaks onto the ground and spills down the pier. A yellow ember burns a few feet away, and as soon as the flowing kerosene makes contact with the flame, it immediately ignites. The fire quickly spreads, consuming several crates and boxes. The mice race back up the pier, but a crate crashes in their path and blocks their way, so they run down a ramp to a support beam. Now, four horses pull a fire engine to the burning museum. Firemen unroll a hose.
Silly Moskowitz!
Where are you?
Tony, look!
Fievel!
Bridget holds the blue cap.
Billy!
Papa!
Out of the way!
Listen!
Silly Moskowitz!
So what? So someone is calling a Philly Moskowitz.
They changed my name to Tilly. Maybe they changed Fievel's name to Philly. Come on, Papa.
Wait.
I just gotta see.
Stop.
Hurry.
Stop.
Hurry.
Tanya darts off and her parents follow.
Philly Moskowitz!
Philly!
Wait!
Stop! Oh.
They find Tony and Bridget.
You are calling for a Philly Moskowitz, right? Here, tell my daughter his name is Philly and not Fievel.
His name is Philly.
You see?
And Fievel.
And Fievel. And Fievel.
Tiger overhears.
Papa. No. There are many Fievel Moskowitzes in New York. Maybe thousands. It could still be another Fievel Moskowitz.
No, Papa.
Mama holds his cap.
Look.
Now Fievel stirs awake on a piece of burning wood. Only semi-conscious, he stumbles backward and into a puddle, then rises to his feet. He staggers forward, holding his head. Two embers crash down beside him and make him jump. Close by, two firemen crouch with a hose and spray water at the burning wood, sending it tumbling away. Fievel rolls with the wood as it smashes into a rock, then into a trunk, and drops down a drainage hole in the dock, landing in the water below. Later, rain pours over a back street with the sign Orphan Alley. Sheltered by a broken window, three orphans find Fievel sleeping.
Get a load of this, huh?
Hey, kid, you're sleeping in my place.
Fievel awakes.
Huh? Hey, give me that!
Any food on you? Hey, what's your story?
I've been looking for my family.
Hey, fellas, he's looking for his family.
I shot that a long time ago.
At least you know who they are. Yeah! Why are you looking for them? They should be looking for you.
They don't care. Forget them.
Fievel's jaw drops and tears fill his eyes. He puts on a tough face.
You're right. They don't care. And if they did, they would have found me. Well, they don't care. I don't care. I don't care if I never see them again.
Yeah, you're nothing. You're junk. You're trash.
He knocks Fievel into a puddle.
Here, make yourself a bed.
One of the orphans tosses hay on top of Fievel. He sits up sadly, resting his arms on his knees.
I'll never find them again anyway. Never. Never. Never.
He cries.
This is my home now.
As rain continues to fall, other orphans sleep under an old umbrella and other junk nearby. A view from further away shows dozens of homeless mice. Lightning flashes over the dingy alley. Elsewhere, heavy rain continues to pour onto a balcony railing that looks over the dark and distant ocean. Gradually, the rain stops, and night turns into dawn. A few birds land on a branch next to the railing. The mother bird nudges her three babies into a nearby bird bath while the sun creeps into view on the horizon. In Orphan Alley, Fievel sleeps alone on a patch of hay huddled under the broken window as it leans against some junk. Fievel. With ragged fur, Fievel takes deep breaths, his mouth open as he sleeps. He shivers. Elsewhere, Tanya, her parents, Tony, Bridget, and Gussie ride on Tiger's back.
Fievel! Billy!
Hey, Billy Moskowitz!
They move through thick fog.
I never dreamt this morning I would be riding a feline.
A feline?
A cat.
I knew that. I knew that.
Keep playing. Keep playing. We will find him.
In the alley, Fievel wearily gets to his feet.
Fievel!
He obliviously trudges into a barrel.
Fievel! Fievel, where are you?
Tiger strolls by, missing him.
Fievel!
Fievel exits the barrel.
Fievel!
His ears perk up.
Papa.
He glances around. He beams.
Fievel!
Papa!
He runs through a puddle.
Where are you?
Back with Tiger.
Papa!
Fievel!
Papa gets off.
Wait! Stop! Fievel!
He runs toward the voice.
I'm coming, Papa!
Papa finds him.
Papa!
Fievel leaps into Papa's arms. Mama sprints to them and hugs her son. Tiger bounds into the puddle after her, and Gussie hugs his toe.
What's come over me? I am hugging a cat!
I've never been so happy in my life. I have friends, lots of little tiny friends.
Oh, Tony, isn't it grand?
Say, I don't hear no one thanking me here.
Bridget kisses Tony while Tanya hugs Fievel.
Fievel, I knew you were alive!
Fievel sits snugly in Mama's lap.
Oh, my little boy, back from the dead. America. What a place.
Papa takes his arm.
My Fievel. I thought I would never see you again.
Never say never, Papa.
Oh, oh, I nearly forgot. Here, Fievel, your hat.
Papa drops the blue cap on his head. Raising his ears, Fievel keeps it from falling over his eyes.
Your hat, it fits.
My son, now you are a mouse.
Later, Fievel and Tanya ride Henri.
My statue is finished. Oh, la 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 la, wait till you see her. She's beautiful.
Mama and Papa ride Chantal through the sky.
Mama, look! Don't be frightened! Open your eyes!
The Statue of Liberty shines in the sun.
Look what you're missing! You're missing everything!
Papa, When we land, I'll look.
Go, four go, pigeons go. Carry Tiger no, in the
whoa.
Air.
This is... Oh, hold. Oh, this is nice. Oh, thanks, fellas. I appreciate you coming back. You in the front. Higher, higher.
A view circles around the head and raised arm of the noble statue.
Oh, Henri, she's so beautiful.
Straddling Henri's shoulders, Fievel and Tanya regard the woman's gleaming face. She winks at them with a quick smile. The two mice turn to each other and grin.
Henri, what's that over there?
Oh, that is more America.
Can we go see it?
Oh, you will, my little American. Someday, you will.
Fievel and Tanya turn and wave as Henri glides them off toward the horizon. A view of the Statue of Liberty shows her holding her torch high, with puffy clouds tinted pink and orange behind her. Credits appear over sepia tone images of New York City. Designed and storyboarded by Don Bluth. Supervising production manager Fred Craig. Production manager Thad Weinlein. Associate producers Kate Barker, Deborah Jellin. Assistant directors G. Sue Shakespeare, David Steinberg. Layout supervisor and storyboard assistant Larry Leaker. Layout artists Mark Swan, Mark Swanson. Background stylist Don Moore. Background artists William Lorenx, David Getz, Barry Atkinson, Richard Bentham. Directing animators John Pomeroy, Dan Kenster, Linda Miller. The animators Lorna Pomeroy, Skip Jones, Gary Perkovac, Kevin Werzer, Jeff Etter, Dave Spafford, Ralph Zondag, Dick Zondag. Dave Molina, Jesse Cosio, Heidi Goodell, Ralph Palmer, Anne-Marie Bardwell, T. Daniel Hofstede. Additional animation, Michael Sedeno, David Concepcion, Jorgen Klubian. Special effects directing animator, Doris A. Lanfer. Special effects animators, Don Paul, Diane Landau, Tom Hush, Kathleen Quaif Hodge, Jeff Howard. Character Key Supervisor, Vera Lanfer. Character Key Assistants, Terry Shakespeare, Emily Giuliano, Sylvia Hoffnagels, Mark Pudliner, John Hooper, Kathy Jones. Character Cleanup, Jan Naylor, Carlos Tavares, Jean Morrill. Film Editor, Dan Molina. Editorial Assistant, John K. Carr. Animation checking, Carla Washburn, Vonnie Batson, Barbara Ritchie, Anna Marie Costa. Final checking, Saskia Reavuri, Victor Solis, Robin Police. Animation color stylists, Carmen Oliver, Jill Everett, Susan Vanderhorst. Color styling assistant, Shirley Mapes. Color markups, Olga Taryn Craig, Diane Albrecht, Sarah Jane King. Paint Lab Supervisor, Deborah Rykoff. Paint Lab Assistants, Violet McKenna, Brenda McGurk. Production Camera Supervisor, Scott McCarter. Animation Camera, David R. Ankney, Rocky Solitoff, Joe Giuliano, Ralph Migliori, Carl Bredendike. Stan Miller, Marlon O'Connor. Director of Special Photographic Effects, Fred Craig. The story or names, characters, or incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons is intended or should be inferred. This motion picture photoplay and soundtrack are protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of the photoplay and/or soundtrack may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 1986 Universal City Studios, Inc. and U Drive Productions, Inc., all rights reserved. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Universal. Voice by Darren Revitz. A leaf lands on a red surface causing golden ripples. A Don Bluth film. Produced by Sullivan Studios, Inc. The moon silhouettes a boy riding his bike in the sky with a shrouded figure in his basket. Amblin Entertainment.